One.
Welcome back, beautiful people of Community Christian Church. I know you guys have been waiting online for like ever. That was my fault.
11 minutes.
Yeah, that was my fault. So if you're online, hello. I know a lot of you guys are online because, you know, there's a bug going around apparently.
Hello, Jocelyn. Hello, Dad.
Hello, hello.
And whoever else is watching.
Yeah, so there's a couple things coming up. As you guys know, there's Tuesdays and Thursday Bible studies, you know, not fun at all, even though we're in the book of Revelation. Yeah, I only come here because I have to.
Just kidding.
I come here because I have to. I'd stay here for 5 hours if you guys let me.
Hey.
I always say edgy stuff, I think. People
yes,
always
you
like, dang. Workday, May 11th at 9 a.m.
Saturday.
Oh, wait, yeah. Sorry. Saturday. Don't forget. I guess I'm not going to be here. I tried to be here on yesterday, but everyone bailed on me, even the pastor. It was so sad.
Well, yes,
but you can't put your trust in men, you know what I mean?
What was this year?
I was going to do what I was going to do on Saturday, but I got to go run away out to the desert.
The wilderness.
Yeah, I got to go.
What are you going to do, the ceiling?
I was going to do the ceiling there. And then we got the segregated men's and women's Bible study, May 18th, the following Saturday. Then we got a council meeting the following Sunday after that. And then beginning of the next month, there should be a potluck. So if you guys want to bring stuff, bring stuff. If you guys don't, eat stuff. You know what I mean? There's always extras. The Lord provides. Amen? Not only physically, but spiritually. You know what I mean? And then we got VBS actually starting in August, July 29th. So those are the announcements. Man, it's so quiet today. I feel like I'm off because it's so quiet.
Yeah.
Someone's like wooing me on. I always have my woo girls, you know?
I can get your woo girl going.
You're going to give me my woo girl? But with that being said, let us pray in and we'll figure out if we're going to do Revelation or we're going to do something else, all right? So while we're praying, if you guys got something and want to share something, don't be scared, all right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, Lord, and we thank you for everything that you do for us, Lord. We ask that what you share with us tonight, that it's your will and not ours, Lord. And we praise you that you allow for that to happen with us, Lord. So, forgive us for our sins and keep our ears open so that we have something to hear, Lord. And that we're willing to work on it, Lord. Not just willing to hear it, but also willing to work on it. Help us strive to be more like you. Bless the study ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have anything pop to his head while we're there? And you guys are all with me in prayer?
First Corinthians.
Dang, you guys all... This is such a hard crowd tonight, bro. Oh, please don't tell me I'm going to monologue all night.
You can teach tonight, Jake.
No, I don't know how to teach, bro. I'm just a disciple. I'm trying to be like a teacher, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So, all in favor to do Revelation continue? Aye. All right. I guess online, you guys gotta, you know, really commit. Comment. Comment. Did it?
Thank
now?
You.
I'll try that one next time.
I was trying to catch it, but didn't stay.
All right, so we left off. Where did we leave off, guys? Guys, remember? 16?
I believe, yeah. Yeah, we didn't touch 16 yet.
All right.
Oh, no, we did. Yeah, we did. We talked about how the sword was the word of God, right?
Mm-hmm. No,
I thought we left
17.
Off in the rushing waters. Maybe I was wrong. Oh, you know what? I had to leave. So you guys went further than I did.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go take
were
care of stuff.
Were we on
19? Yes.
You guys got all the way to the right?
We got all the way to 19, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to get into the good stuff. Dang, I wish everyone was here. Dang. This is the best part of Revelation right here.
God is providing.
You know? I guess we all have to hear it, huh? All right. I'm going to read 9 through 20 real quick, then we'll jump back to 19.
Okay.
So we stay in the context of what's going on here. So it says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Remember why he was there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got persecuted. Tried to blow him alive. Didn't work out. Then he swam instead. And then invented the spa. Come on. I'm going to have to get more craftier with these things. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on this scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. And among the lampstands was one like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And as I hold the keys of death and Hades, write therefore what you have seen. Why? What is now, and what will take place later? The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven gold lampstands, is this: the seven stars are the angels, and the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And he drops the mic. Just kidding. No, he's got more to say.
Yeah, right.
To each church. Yeah, you're getting big.
Yeah. I'm surprised she has so much control over it.
Yeah.
All right, so we stopped at 19, you saying? We read 19, or did we stop at 19?
We stopped at 19.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jordan said that they stopped at 17.
Oh, they stopped at 17?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure we were further than that.
Yeah, because we were talking about the fear that puts people...
I don't remember what I had about this.
I remember discussing
Yes,
this.
That's what I brought up. I brought up 17, so I think we're
at 19? Okay. So 19 it is. Guess someone wasn't paying attention online, even though he was here.
It helps lead it.
Right? It says, write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place. What do you guys get from that?
Well, it's like instructing him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as everything is happening, he's like, yo, pay attention, start writing, and continue to write.
I agree. Anyone else? Got anything else? Can
you read it?
It says, write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place. Yeah, I see the same thing.
I see that, like, the structure of Revelations. Right? He's just going to talk about what he saw, right?
Yep.
And then he's going to talk about things that are, like, he's talking to the churches that are right there, man. And then the things that shall be hereafter, which is the future. And
okay.
That's a home run, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Home run.
Did you already know that?
I did already know that. But I just want to tell you guys, like, I don't know nothing about this book, except like what's coming up in this next chapter, and the following is probably the most important part of this chapter. I mean, book, not chapter. And that's why I see there, like, what he's about to tell all the churches is what's now. So, like, when you read the letters to each of the church, I'm sure if you're listening and you have ears to hear, it's a double-edged sword, like it said, right? You're going to be like, praise God, and then all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh no, like I'm falling into that other category. That's what I encourage when we get there. But that's what I see as now, and then what will take place later, right? So the part after the churches is when it goes into what will take place after, right? In that time of tribulation, that is what I see. And it's pretty cool, right? When we get there. We always go to chapter 4. When we're trying to explain chapter 1 for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it happens. And one thing that if you've read the book of Daniel, Gabriel and Daniel are talking about a scroll. And when you punch right into 4, it continues where Daniel left off. Like almost word for word, like you're in the same scene. Like it's like act 2, you know?
Wow.
And it continues on because what Gabriel, I think, is it Gabriel or Michael? That's one of the two.
Gabriel.
Probably the messenger guy, yeah. And one of the things that Daniel asks is like, well, what happens next? And an angel literally tells him, it's not for your time, don't worry about it. And then now with this revelation, now we have what happened with the scroll, you know. So we'll read about that when we get there. It's pretty cool. But for now, we're going to focus on the things that are now, right? So that's what I get out of verse 19, is he explains the things that are now and the things that will be. We're all in agreement?
No.
So far, so good, huh, son? All right. It says, verse 20, you guys ready to move on, or you got more? Anyone? Okay. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven gold lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels, and the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Pretty self-explanatory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that goes back to where John describes what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the lampstands that he's holding is what we are today, right? We're one of those churches. Individually, we're one of those churches. As a community, we're one of those churches. As a state, we're one of those churches. As a country, we're one of those churches. Like, we can find flaws in every single way, but the most important thing is that when we do find those flaws, that we put it at the Lord's feet. We say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to work at that. You know, that's what keeping in repent. What does John say?
Producing fruit.
Yeah.
And keeping with repentance.
Yeah, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Because if we think we know,
mm-hmm.
like, if we think we know, then we're probably wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If we act as if we're doing, like, in that humble state that we don't know, the Lord can use this, you know? Stuff like that. So that's what I get. Tony, anyone else got anything?
Confusing.
What about what? Which part? It
says, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Never mind. I just read it to myself.
Actually, I did.
What you got?
So I know that later on there's another. What is it?
Spoiler.
You say chapter 4.
In Zechariah, it explains what the candlesticks look like.
Okay.
But as you continue reading in Zechariah, it speaks of the seven, but then it says it's something different. That those seven represent something different.
Okay. You want to go? You want to take us there?
Okay.
Zechariah what?
Zechariah
9:2.
4:2?
My dad texts, it's like we talked about, the lampstands were in the holy place. In Christ is the holy place, the Spirit. We are now the holy place, that holy place, and He's holding the Spirit within us. We are the body, the holy of holies now. I don't know if you want to try to read that text rather, but.
Jordan says, the churches are meant to light the way to the Lord. Stand for the bright beacons of the society.
But I think too, when the last time we talked about it, Matt was saying that it's a representation of the fruits as well.
The fruits.
Of the Spirit.
Okay.
I forgot, I know that he had said, I can't remember in the context.
That's what he was talking about, sevens.
The seven?
Right, and yeah. The seven fruits also.
Mm-hmm. I think there's more, isn't there?
There is.
That's,
yeah.
So, see,
so, yeah,
there's
just,
more.
You remember what he is, the board,
something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think some of those fruits, though, that are described in Galatians that you're referring, some of them are one with each other.
So that's what
thing.
We talked about earlier, saying, like, The fruits that are like described is the like the embodiment of what Christ like brings you,
right?
The abundance of like love and all of that, right? Those are just attributes of what God refines inside of you, know?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I think what John was describing was the essence of our spirit, what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When he turns around and sees Christ, he's describing
mm-hmm.
a certain way. And I think it's the way he appears. Like in a spiritual context,
you can like see. Kind of, yeah. Because even what we talked about, you moving into this, it all kind of like makes sense and really big, like a big circle.
Okay. So in 4:2,
mm-hmm.
are you guys just referencing that verse? Or
so that's what I'm saying. So I went through it because it's describing the candlestick.
Okay.
But as you keep reading, at one point, the angel asks, Josiah? I think that's who he spoke. No, Joshua? He tells him, like, do you know what they are? And he tells them, and he ends up telling him what they are.
So you're talking about before. You read before or after?
After.
After.
I continued to read.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So what
and
mean?
At what point does the angel say what they are?
So... in
six.
This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This is read chapter 4, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyone want to lead it, or?
Oh, I have it.
So the word of the Lord says, the angel talked to me, came back and awakened me as a man who was waking out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there was a lampstand of gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes and seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other is at its left. So I answered and I spoke to the angel who talked to me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel who talked to me answered me and said to me, do you know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace to grace.
Damn.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this temple, his hands shall also finish it. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the land of Jehovah. They are the eyes of the Lord, which can scan to and fro to the earth. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the word of the Lord.
Ooh. You see, oh,
that's
was
pretty
wild,
bro.
Whoa. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I believe in Revelations, does it say that the seven stars are the seven spirits of the Lord? Don't they say that as well?
I think the seven stars are the angels, right?
The seven spirits of the Lord, the seven angels of the Lord. They see all things in the churches, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I was reading this.
You want to share with us?
No, he's making a lot of sense.
Yes, because all morning I was tripping on it because I read this and I marked down what she's talking about.
Yeah. That's not good, man. Go ahead.
So when I read this, I remember the seven spirits of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
And I remember that. So I'm speaking about the two olive trees that are standing by the Lord of the whole word. What I got from this was the two anointed ones. What I see here is the Trinity.
Okay.
What
I see
here
it too.
Is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the Father never leaves heaven, and the Spirit and the Lord does all the work, right? So that's what I see now to here. I seen the Spirit of the two receptacles. Well, I say it has a bowl on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it drips.
It says that one bowl, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's God.
That's
the Holy
Jesus.
Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Kind of, right?
This is what I got of the Holy Spirit. God being the bowl, the oil dripping from the Holy Spirit into the pipes.
Yeah, that's true.
Is the Holy Spirit going into the churches?
Yeah,
and then so the two receptacles, it says right here, where are the two olive branches that drip into the receptacle? Two olive branches, you know, the olive tree, the fig tree is always likened to a priest, right? Priest being the high priest, being Jesus, right? So I seen it that the bowl being the two branches being the Holy Spirit and the Lord, the two pipes, everything that says the oil, I believe to be the Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and to me, it's a picture of to me, it's a picture of the Lord pouring the Spirit into the seven churches.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow!
God being the bowl.
Yeah, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord, right?
Holy Spirit and
Jesus and the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm. Orlando did text me. The seven churches are literal, as mentioned in Revelation 1:11. But it's also a representing the churches of today, the fashion of how they carry themselves, and how they represent God's word. The seven angels that are mentioned are one angel for each church.
Yeah, I was reading somewhere that the seven churches back in the time of when they used to write the letters on the scroll and sent them out. I was reading that the seven churches that he's speaking of was on the route. Mm-hmm. Was on the route.
Yeah.
The seven churches were on the route.
Yeah. Oh, right. We also noticed something like the front lines.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a map that showed it, yeah.
Right, and so the churches were on the route. So it's been the churches, but then I also read in the same literature that they said it was... I was wondering about the seven churches too. Why does it say just seven?
Right.
You know, we know the number of completion of seven, right? But I was saying, you know, it speaks to all. It said that they're different eras. That's what I read. In the
okay, I've heard this interpretation.
They're different eras.
Yeah, right? I've heard this
so
interpretation.
When I seen it, I said it makes sense, but you know, I guess you would have.
To, yeah, we were saying it, right? We were saying earlier that it's more of like a certain spirit. Right, like so, like if you look at the bowl, right, it overflows, and each one flows into a different candle. So, from that one spirit, one aspect of that spirit is flowing into each of the candles. Okay. So, like, I've heard the interpretation of the era, like,
like the first letters to the first era of the church, the second. I've read the interpretation,
yeah,
and it's pretty interesting.
Like the Ephesus was the first era, and then the second and third.
Yeah,
and that's it. It said another word in the era, the Laodicean era, the last era.
Yeah.
No, that's what I read.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. The way I see that, like, interpretation is kind of like speculation almost. Like, just like you can read a lot about the. I love the early church writings. Like, I don't like. I've shown Mike one or two of them. He's shown me one of them, and I love what they say. Like, and they say things that were like, dang. I don't think I'm a Christian with these guys, you know what I mean? Like, they're like deep, crazy stuff, you know, what they go through. And,
like the ones that
and I can see why the first interpretation is because, like, you sifted through, you know, and, like, you knew who was and you knew who wasn't regarding to, like, the martyrship. Like, you were, like, back then you had to live or die, right? And to live was to die, pretty much. You know,
or you had to run.
Yeah,
that's
so,
why these churches were where they're at.
Yeah, they were where they're at.
Places,
right, and it expanded it, and so like I understand that that interpretation, it makes sense because if you follow the next, you read that era of writing. You know, that's where I think the second era is when they put the Bible together, right? Because before it was just letters that everyone had, and they considered them scripture. Right, they were just letters before, but then they got together and they formed the Bible, and that's when the second era starts, stuff like that. I've read a lot about but I think to be more in path of what's going on with the first chapter, you know, describing the way that it looks, it's from a spiritual sense, because when John's describing Christ, and you go, white hair, white as snow, right? And then people go, okay, that's the purity that we become when we live our life in Christ, right? We live to serve one another, right? We're not there to harm each other, so you become pure in doing that, right? And then so on and so forth, right? And then the double-edged sword is the word, right? It cuts your enemy and it cuts yourself. You know what I mean? And it's not to be wielded to, you know, strike your neighbor down, right? Because we're all in the same game, right? You know, we're just trying to get more people involved.
I agree. It's all spiritual.
Yeah.
The Lord says it right here. The Lord says in John 6:62, he says, "What then if I told you see the man ascending where he was before? It is not the spirit who gives life. Flesh prophets nothing. The words that I speak to our spirit." So we know that everything that teaches us is spirit.
Hey, you got it, bro. I agree with you. You know, I don't know if we got it, but I'm on the same page as you are, you know what I mean?
So everything we see is spirit. I believe everything is spirit.
Yeah.
We see that the face value is spirit. I was looking right here, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is right here, one of these two branches. And here we see in chapter 3 in Zechariah 2, it says, "Oh, here, Joshua, the right priest, you are a companion who sit before you." It says, "For they are a wondrous sign." And it says, "For behold, I am bringing forth my servant the branch." So the branches, the oil dripping into the branches, we know the spirit. And we saw the Lord says, "I am the vine, right? I'm the true vine, right?"
Right.
So
it's like getting grafted in.
Isn't there a saying about like the olive branch? It's like an extension to somebody for help.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think there is some type of saying that's saying that.
Orlando did text in all of chapter 2 and 3. I think he's talking about four voices or not.
That's the seven churches.
Yeah, it shows how Christ speaks to the seven churches of then and today.
Yep, I agree. And that's that part in verse 19 where we said, "I'm going to tell you what is now."
Mm-hmm.
That's that now part. Mm-hmm. And then I will tell you what will be. And that's the part after the seven churches.
Mm.
It's even like, I mean, like right when you say that, it's like even crazier to the testament of like God's words never change.
Right.
Like,
actually, I think the verse of the day is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. You know? I saw that today. I was like, oh, that's pretty bomb. You know?
My dad commented, spoiler, if you look at each letter to the churches, they use a portion of the description of Christ in chapter 1.
Right, and that's why we go back to the Spirit, right? Because what is described in chapter 1 are like the fruits of what we would look like when we live in Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah, we were talking about the brass feet.
The what?
The brass feet.
Oh yeah, the feet. Yeah, the feet. Yeah, like on Thursday, Tuesday. I was, or was it Tuesday?
It was,
yeah.
Tuesday.
Sorry, my days are just blending into one. what's it called? On Tuesday, I was so emphasizing on the study. If you were watching, I was emphasizing the bronze feet because when I would look at it, I could see like what everything else is talking about except what the bronze feet were,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to put it in that spiritual sense. And the way it was put, because I don't know if you, when you guys were talking about it, but it was the, it was said that it was the rigidness in the word, right? And then from that, it came the judgment,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it would that rigidness in the word kept you firm, and it would push people away or push people towards you because they were making that judgment, you know. And it came to like the end of days. I kind of get it. What you got?
So going on to the bronze feet and tying that in with everything that the sister also brought up, the bronze feet is when you're in the world, it talks about in the scripture how you wash a brother's feet, right?
Right.
But his feet were bronze. They weren't going to be dirty. They're not going to be worn out. They're not going to be bleeding like ours.
Refined bronze.
Oh, okay.
He's going to be refined.
Dang, that's pretty bomb.
He's not going to be hurt by the world that he's trotting through. This whole scripture.
Oh, I love that.
As
I love
the sister
that.
Brought up,
dang,
the candlesticks.
Yeah, that's pretty bomb. You know,
this whole thing covers the spirit. That's the basis of.
Where'd you guys come up with?
Yeah, where'd you guys come up with?
I just laugh because everybody has a different.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
But I said this. I said to me, the bronze feet speak to me as that, because we know the Lord was perfect. He was human, perfect. The shininess was perfect, like, because the color of the skin back there was bronze, right? So that's how they envisioned it, like, the color of the feet was bronze, shiny bronze, right? But back then, they got dark skin. Mm-hmm. They have dark skin. So he probably seen it as the color of bronze, but it was shiny. You know what I mean? I was telling Michael that I seen it as he was speaking to his humanity, right? Because the gospel, the armor of God. He said, "Shod your feet with the gospel of peace," right? So the gospel of peace, right? The gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? So he said, "Shod your feet with the gospel of peace," right? So the death and resurrection of Christ is when the Lord took the sins of on his back, and he was put on the cross.
Right.
Now I asked the Lord myself, I was like, Lord, why did you do it? And then I took it back to the serpent on the pole. Right.
Okay.
I said, why? I was trying to wonder, why would you compare? Why would he tell the people? When you see the Son of Man lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness, you will know that I'm you. So why would you? I asked the Lord, why would you compare yourself to a serpent? Right. Why would you say if you see the man like the serpent lifted up? So if we see that the sins of the world were pressed on his back, we know that the sins of the world were on his back when he was on the cross. So he tells, he tells Moses, make a serpent on a pole. Anybody that looks on it shall be healed. Right. And then later on in the scripture it says that he made a brass
serpent.
Ah,
dude, this
right?
is getting
so fun. So when the Lord, when you know that the Lord was on the cross. He was not only 100% man, but he had all the sins of the world.
Right.
So right. So the serpent being a picture,
right,
the spirit image of the sinful nature.
Yeah.
So he says, if you get bit by the serpent, and when you look at me, you're healed.
Dang, that's so
right?
good, bro.
So
when you're cousin Morty.
So when you get, I seen that he's saying when you get bit by sin, you know what I mean. You look at the cross and see what I did for you,
yeah.
And know that your sins have been forgiven. You will be healed. He didn't say you won't be sick or nothing. He said you'll be healed, right?
Yeah, you'll be healed.
So that's what I see. Especially like I was talking to him in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel sees the image of God. He sees the fork. He sees the creatures.
Right.
They also have the feet of bronze.
Right, and that's what Jordan brought up in Ezekiel was the they all had that.
Yeah.
That bronze,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we got where it was back with what Nick was saying, where Sorry, my brain just died.
He's saying.
Too much at once.
Yeah. Dude, I'm sorry.
You just got unplugged from the internet right
yeah,
now.
Right? Router reset, you know? But it goes back to what Nick was sharing with us.
Right.
You know, the put it in the same words that you said, Nick, the
about the strength that Christ had when he came into
yes,
this world.
Yes, yeah. I was trying to like put it back in the same words. But so it falls back into that, you know, which I can see now. I can see because what they were explaining yet on Wednesday, where I kind of got it, it was just like, okay, so look, how did it get to there? Now I feel like the dots were just all connected, you know.
Yeah.
Now the bronze makes sense because, you know, it did save or it did kill in that sense, you know. And that's what they brought up last time, but now it all makes sense because of the image of the serpent.
Yeah, he is perfect.
You know? Oh, dude, it's so bomb, bro.
Yeah.
I love when dots connect like that.
Start of it, it's kind of addressing it like how Paul does, how he is writing it, saying, okay, write this on a scroll for these specific churches.
Right.
Because they need to hear it. Because they need to be encouraged in their spirit so they can grow. That's why they give such good descriptions of God right now on what he's like. The purity,
the
fire in his eyes, and the rushing water. Because this is his word, right?
Right.
The word brings life, but he is the word. So it's reviving their spirits.
Yeah, because they're going to realize what they describe.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, that's so wrong.
I haven't done that.
Yeah, woe is me.
Yeah, this is why water's so big, especially on Revelations, because of life and who Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It also goes into the scriptures I shared with you over text, but you never read.
Dang, if I only knew. If I only knew. You want to share them right now?
No, not really, but I can.
Christ is still.
Yeah.
Dang, that was awesome. That was awesome.
It's one of the first conversations you had. Huh? You came out.
Yeah.
In James 3.
Start talking.
Check this out.
For real.
I want to ask everybody because I want to hear everybody's opinion. Everybody has about the bronze feet. So.
Dude, I love
it. So what I said on Tuesday was bronze back then was used for sculpting, weaponry, and all kinds of things. And I figured the refined bronze is the purity of it and taking down the idols of the world and the sin and all everything that they used it for to create images before God, saying that they were greater and stuff like that. And it's at his feet because he's above it, you know? He was placed with the authority above it all.
That's what I think too, because in Daniel, you see like the, you had the stat, his vision, remember?
Right, the Nebuchadnezzar dreamer.
And the vision that he got was of the kings that were weak or whatever, like they were going to be destroyed. Their feet were mixed with clay and metals,
uh-huh.
Different metals.
Iron and clay. Whatever.
But the metal always represented strength, and the weakness was the dirt, was the clay, and so and then it talks about the kingdoms. Remember, and the last kingdom is the one that smashes all the others to pieces. It doesn't have any clay and it's just metal.
Mm.
So that's what I assumed. Like I pictured Jesus as like his authority. He just said all authority because he walks amongst the lampstands and has the candles.
Mm-hmm.
And he's about to talk and say, I know your works, I know what you do. You know what I'm saying? Like we talked about in Zechariah right now. He sees everything.
Yeah.
He knows everything. And that's how he's judging with his power. He's the son of
that's so crazy.
Oh, dude, this is so good. What you got? Where are you taking us?
James 3.
We're
all over the place,
not lying. That was like one of the. What was it? I think when you, Jordan, and I were going over the Son of Man. Oh, that was another one.
I didn't do that one.
Oh, no, you didn't do that one? What was the one we did together?
Ephesians.
Oh, it was Ephesians about the breaking through?
I don't remember.
It was like how Christ was a straight shot to God and he lived along and he's like...
No, that wasn't me either.
No, it wasn't? Oh, dude, it had to be. You were right there.
It was like Ephesians 2, dude.
Yeah, that's the, I think that's the only like massive breakthrough I've ever had in Ephesians.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, James 3 what?
Starting at verse 11.
11?
Okay. It says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Which goes back to what we were reading on Tuesday, right, with Ezekiel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, 42?
Yeah, 47. Yep, that's exactly what it is.
Going into...
Dang, that's such a bomb scripture too.
Yeah, it's bad.
Going into that, at our start, we're producing the salt water. We're producing what's in our nature, sin.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked last week about submerging ourselves in the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's removing that saltiness each time we go deeper in with the Lord. And we're starting to share that water of life. We talked about how in Jeremiah something, it talked about the cisterns that man tried to build themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Because by our nature, that's what we do. We go off by ourselves and do our own thing.
Yeah, we think we know.
Yeah, but... that doesn't produce nothing. It produces the same thing that it always produces in the book. Just death. Man trying to do it themselves, not with God. But with God, we become a fount of life for the people in the world. We start to show them, share with them, and then they draw closer to God because that's what surrounds His Word and His Spirit, that we dwell in them. We become more pure, and then it gives life to the things around us.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You could also find the verses, John 7, verse 37, John 4, verse 10. Those also go with it. And then there's also spoilers in Revelations 21, 6.
Mm.
Which, fun fact, actually brought me to Christianity.
Oh, really?
21:6?
Revelation, yeah.
21:6? That's supposed to be a good verse, huh? Wait, 21:6? Isn't that in Fallout? I think.
He said the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, doesn't it, bro?
Our game is a complete testament on that scripture, just so you know.
I know, it is.
Anyway, yeah.
Dang, it is that verse, bro.
Uh-huh.
What a trip. Did you guys read it?
Yeah.
21:6.
Revelation. 21:6 and
Revelation. Very bomb. It says, He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Think about cost.
It's free?
Free?
Yeah, what's more, you're a cup that brings that water to the world and the people who need it.
Amen, bro. Dude, I love you so much right now, Nick. So much, bro.
That's all it is, being God's vessel. I was saying that in reference to what I said before, not me in general. I'm a hard-headed sinner.
Just in the word.
I like what he said about us being a light for other people.
Right.
And understanding that, what the Spirit does, not just for you, but those around you.
Right.
The Spirit in you.
Reminds me of Matthew.
Right here in Luke 10, I like this part right here. It says, when it says after 70, it says, whatever city you enter and you receive such things, you were said before you was healed the sick. I say to them, the kingdom has come near you. That's what he was doing. See, that's what I was trying to...
Dang, that is deep, too.
Yeah.
That is deep. Like, the near you part is the people, bro. They came near you, and they show the word of God.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, it's no longer a place. You don't have to go all the way to Jerusalem now.
Yeah, right?
You know? Amen, huh?
Awesome.
All right, so you guys ready to move on?
On to two, yeah.
On to two. The best part of Revelation? Who'll be living it, right? All right, we'll start with the first church. And one thing that I tried to state last time is that if we're reading these churches, you know, and you feel the Lord convicting your heart and you guys want to pray about it, we can stop and just pray about that, you know, like whatever the first church is, you know, we can just do it all together, or you can do it by yourself. It'd be cool if we had done it all together, because, you know, we can grow together, you know. But, like, if you feel some type of conviction, because it said it's a double-edged sword, you know, so it's going to convict you just as much as it convicts your enemy, you know. So, it says, verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have preserved and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. That's all the good news, right? All the good news. Dang. You know, if we weren't willing to hear, you know, if you didn't have ears to hear, you'd stop right there.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So let us have ears to hear, right? It says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. What the Spirit says to the churches, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Dang. Pretty heavy stuff right there, huh?
100%.
Acts has, when Paul and Barnabas establish the church in Ephesus, I think, but when they get to the city at least.
Right, is it like 15 or something?
I don't know. I was looking for it.
Oh, no, I think it's 20. It might be 20. Maybe. I want to say it's 20. That's the one where he's like, where they quote the Lord. It's better to be given than received. And they all cried and wept with each other at the end of it. Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's when you were saying goodbye to him.
Yeah, that's the Church of Ephesus.
Yeah,
saying
that
goodbye?
Is.
Yeah,
that
so is it? Pretty bomb.
There's some of these. A lot of these churches aren't Acts when they went to the city and established them.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
And a lot of these churches have letters to them, even though they're not
right in
the Bible. Some of them still have church like letters to them. You know, like. Mike shared with me the one chapter of Laodicea.
Right, it was to three places. I don't remember what Laodicea was on.
Yeah.
Caesarea, I think, or Orlando.
Sorry, Orlando text that is known as a Orthodox church or churches. I don't know exactly what it was talking about.
An Orthodox church? Oh, I can see what he's going with right here. So he's saying this is a type of church. Which I've also heard this one too. So this would be like the Orthodox church, just where they put the rules in front, you know.
Never heard that one.
Yeah, they put the rules in front, and they forget what first saved them. You know what I mean? Because they came from those broken rules.
Is that what the first works means? Because I was wondering.
The what?
It says, do the first works.
Yeah.
And
consider
it says,
how.
Repent and do the first works.
Yeah, things that you. That, yeah, exactly. Which
what
was like.
To them?
Yeah, it's what it's pretty much what brought you to them, right? And usually when you're getting brought from the Lord, you're in a terrible place, and then you realize, oh, I've been doing this all wrong. Lord, forgive me, you know. You realize there's a better place, and you know. And I can see the correlation as a whole from that perspective is, which is the Orthodox Church.
that if you go to these Orthodox churches, they have all type of traditions. And a lot of the traditions, you're like, why do we even do these things? But if you don't do these traditions, then you're not like a, you're not like a pillar in the church, or, you know, you're almost like excluded from the cool kids club. You know, like there's a hierarchy or something, which goes against, and he goes, I hold this against you, right? Come back this way, right? But we'll dive into it too, and I can see that as a type of church, you know what I mean?
This also represents some believers too. Like, for example, in this church, when you first came here, Jacob, you see the people who are sitting there while he was talking, but you didn't feel that movement, right?
Right.
So this is also a call to those believers too who are stuck and upset and not moving. For the stagnant believers who would say, yes, Lord, I know your commands.
Ooh, I like
that
one.
You are.
That was really good.
So they're not moving.
Right. They're just...
Just when you were saying, like, oh, if any of this starts to convict me, like, I was just going through this, you know?
Right.
I was trying to figure out, like, how do I get back to when I first cracked open the Bible? Like, I want to get back to that, like, always wanting to run to the Lord, always wanting to read His Word, always wanting to figure something out, you know? And I threw myself out of loop, and then just reading this, it's crazy because it's like, dang, like, I tell you all the time, like, I debate people all the time, you know? I talk to people all the time and stuff like that or whatever. So, yeah, it's really, like, in your face about having a stagnant belief for sure.
That's why it's addressed like how Paul writes to the churches, because he's trying to reaffirm them, to revitalize them, to show them where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they could also keep in step with him and continue
yeah.
to grow.
So what you're talking about is what I get from this for sure. Like, I get that spiritual aspect 100% from this. This is like, when it's called the Book of Revelation, I believe the letters to the church are the revelation part.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, this is supposed to refuel the fire if you fall into one of these categories, which most of us, like, I'm pretty sure 100% of us will fall into one of these categories,
mm-hmm.
right? We're all in one of them at some point, or, you know, in all of them. It just depends on where we're at.
I'm pretty sure two of the seven churches got only praise, not rebuke.
Yeah, right.
That's a small spoiler.
Small spoiler, yeah, for sure, huh?
So my dad text. Nicolaitans may have been associated with a group of individuals who sought to establish a hierarchy within the Christian community, possibly within the elitist or authoritarian group.
Oh, see, like, I've heard it different. I've heard it is the saved by grace, the people who catch their check in full. But there's literally no writings. I've looked for them.
Mm-hmm.
Only like rumors of like what the Nicolaitans were talked about, you know, what they do. And from what I've read from other places, is the Nicolaitans could also be the ones that I'm saved by grace, I can do whatever I want, right? I can live in all this sin because Christ paid it all for me, you know? So that's what I've also heard the Nicolaitans as.
I mean, also you can take this in tandem. He uses the word hate for them specifically,
sure.
which is also something that's not very common.
Dang.
It's really called to wake you up.
Yeah, it's supposed to be
that
like,
word.
And that's,
like,
yeah.
This is the Lord who's the same as today as it was yesterday, right?
Yep, exactly.
The same Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We have a myriad of promises and word that we have to hold on to for our benefit. Yet, he's still the same.
Mm-hmm.
Something that he despises and detests, he'll call it out clearly, and he calls it out for this specific instance. So,
yeah. No, I agree 100%. So let's start from the top and break it down verse by verse.
Is Nicolaitans a religion or what is it?
So, according to all the writings that we have, I'm sure there were more before they were all burned away or lost or, you know, buried, one of the two, you know. from what we do know is that the only real, like, recordings of what the Nicolaitans are probably in this book. Those are, like,
Few times are mentioned. There's, I think there might be a couple more. I can't remember. I remember looking into it. I was trying to figure out what the Nicolaitans were.
Revelations.
Huh?
I think there's a few more times further in Revelations.
Yeah, and they that's why I came to that conclusion where I think it's the saved by grace, because if you mention it, wherever they're mentioned in these churches, it goes along those lines of they can do anything, right? It doesn't always go along the lines of the elitist, but like it could be that way, you know. But like we're established that way today, you know. There are certain groups of churches where they have a hierarchy, right? Even the most popular one, Catholicism, right? Mm-hmm. That has a hierarchy, right? There's a pope, there's a bishop, there's a cardinal, right? And usually those people that are in those positions see it as like they're closer to God than I am, right? Instead of realizing that they're just another person like you and me, you know? The Nicolaitans fall into multiple categories, you know? And after reading the writings that, because I get fascinated with stuff like that, the Nicolaitans, you know, I was trying to figure out what it was, but if you take the writings that there are about Nicolaitans, you go, okay, it seems like they were just, they believed Christ, mm-hmm. died for their sins, but like there was like no repentance in that lifestyle. They saw a sin to play in.
A sect of people who just didn't.
Yeah, they saw a sin to play in instead of like a place to overcome your sin in. Mm-hmm. You know that's my conclusion. I could be totally wrong.
Revelations, it says that certain church didn't follow the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. So they had doctrines that they're like a group that were teaching doctrines, almost like different denominations now. They exist because they have a certain group of doctrines that they follow. It's not just in here, on the stairs, you know.
Yeah, they've dealt with the same thing even before Christ. There was divisions everywhere, you know.
It was antichrist.
Yeah.
Whatever Jesus taught, they were doing different.
Yeah, they were doing the opposite.
You see it in Acts, like with Ananias, Sapphira, and Barnabas. Barnabas gave right. Ananias and Sapphira gave wrong. That was for the church, you know. Don't. This is how you give. This is how you don't give.
Mm-hmm.
An example. I forgot exactly what I was saying, but I forgot.
Dang.
I was mentioning 3-2.
You're on a roll, man.
About the Nicolaitans?
Yeah, the doctors. Yeah, whatever they were against Christ. And nowadays, you can see it. Like, if you read your Bible, then you see, like, I don't want to judge anybody, but if you see the church as a whole and what people do, you're like, that's a strange doctrine.
Yeah.
That's not what Christ is. I don't see Christ like that.
Yeah.
I don't see Christ in a $50,000 car and a $1 million home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't live that way.
No. Right? It's like the opposite.
The disciples, the brothers, they don't do that. That's not who they are. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's strange, right? And so it could be anything that's antichrist. It's against what he taught and what he stands for. Because, like you said, it doesn't change.
Okay, so you're saying the Nicolaitans have that aspect of the antichrist.
Well,
and it could be any part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't good and they were hated. The doctrines were hated.
Yeah. I feel like, though, that you can just, the Nicolaitans, at that point, you can just call the world at that point, you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
So,
they said, like, is there another deeds? This is right here. The deeds, I hate the deeds.
Whatever they were teaching,
whatever it is that they were doing.
Yeah.
Whatever their doctrine brought out of it.
Yeah. Which goes back to why I think they believed who Christ was,
they
were just like, I'm going to cash that check in full. Because in another one of these churches, a spoiler, is that they put the Nicolaitans in Beelzebul, which is like the, where they would have orgies at their altar, all kinds of crazy stuff. So I'm thinking,
Balaam is one of them too.
Yeah. But it like puts those two together, so you're like, okay, so whatever they were doing the same thing as these, because in the context, they're keeping in with it, you know, the same doctrine, you know. So like, I think they were just twisting the word, pretty much.
Some worldly stuff.
And like, they put the truth in there, just like how the serpent did. Like, you won't surely die when you eat that apple. You know?
Yeah,
like, technically, they didn't, but they did. You know what I mean? So I think it's the same twist, you know?
I remember in the book of Acts, they had that dude who was like a... He was a magician himself.
Oh, yeah.
He saw the disciples.
Simon?
Yeah, dude, stuck with the Holy Spirit. He was like, you let me have that, I'll buy it off you. Yeah, he maybe believed and he maybe wanted to be part of the group, but his heart was different.
In the wrong spot. And that's what he tells him.
Yeah. And that's what he would tell them, hey, repent and do what we do. You know what I mean? These are the first words. They're not about that. We're not about the money. We're about the spirit as well.
Right. Amen.
My brother said he would like me to ask this to everyone. Do you know why there are seven churches?
That's an interesting question. He didn't know.
Do you know why there were seven churches?
That's his question.
In what context?
I'm
sure there was like multiple contexts.
I thought it was the number of completion, and then it was like the forefront of where the letters went to to get sent out to the churches. Yeah. The other churches.
And if he has something else to share on it, tell him to send it.
Wasn't it because he promised?
You just told him.
He promised to seven churches or something.
Huh?
Wasn't there a promise made for seven churches?
Where at?
I don't know. I just thought.
Maybe. Now I'm gonna go look into it. Thanks, dude. Alright, so verse by verse. I know we've been going
I like it too, where he says, I know your works. I know I already said that, but
that
part just sticks to me. Like,
I love it.
Everything that we do, it doesn't matter. Nothing's hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Everything we say, nothing's hidden.
What is it? Is that right? When Joshua was in his dirty clothes, there's a rock in front of him.
No, I don't think so. Joshua, you said?
Zachariah,
no?
Yeah. Oh, Zachariah? When he sees Joshua with the dirty clothes, and he's in front of the Lord.
The reason he saw was that they unified them there completely.
Cool. You want to elaborate on it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I need to call Jordan and have him elaborate on it.
Oh, I guess if you put all seven churches together in the spirits that they hold, I think that's what you've been going with it. Is that if then it would look like Christ. You know, if you put them all together, mold them all into one, melt down the lampstands into one lampstand, it would look Christ. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's what is the completion?
Mm-hmm.
Because each one holds a characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Maybe in the big scheme of everything, we'll see that everything we have now came from these places. You know?
Came from what?
For sure. These churches. These seven.
Oh.
Everything. All the people. Like, we traced everything back.
Hey.
Like, backwards.
Like, at the end days?
Rewind everything, bro.
We get to see everything?
They all go back to there.
Yeah, you're just like, oh,
see, one thing that I was tripping on
go back
when we were watching when we were talking about the lampstand with the olive branches and all of that, right? And, like, seeing it in the physical. But one thing that, like, it's just been going over and over in my head is, like, when we don't realize the things that we do, like, it's as it is on earth as it is in heaven, right? So, like, when we do things here in the real world without our, in the physical world, some of the things that we do, like, as far as, like, outside of God that people believe in, like, sorcery, witchcraft, things and like that, you know, sometimes it's just, like, a stick in the jar and stuff like that, right? So, but what does that resemble spiritually, right? So, what I was just thinking was, like, with that description of what it gave with the lampstand and the oil and stuff like that, with things being put together, like, the way that he describes it in Revelation, what he turns around to see, you know? It's just this weird thing of, like, how do we know, like you're saying, we could go back to see where everything comes from? Like, how do we know that just normal things, like, don't actually mean something spiritually, you know, in a weird, like, sense, right? Like, I don't know. It was just really tripping me out what he was saying, because I was imagining, I was like, dude, like, what if you just saw that, but you would not, you know, how oblivious are we to spiritual things that are laying right out in front of us?
That's
you
what
know?
He said. It's like white. It's white. It's no, it's
yeah.
white.
Yeah. Because we can't comprehend anything like that.
Right. He's just
our
describing
mind,
it in
yeah.
a way that we can understand.
Yeah.
Right?
Our
don't
mind's
have that.
Like a fourth dimension.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
It's weird. And that dude was in the spirit, right?
Yeah, right.
Is that right?
49?
Yeah, 3 days is too long.
3-9.
To hold the stone, behold the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Of the stone are 7 eyes.
Mm.
Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord. And I will remove the iniquity of that land. In that day, says the Lord, host everyone going by his neighbor under the vine on the feast. So that. And then also, when you see the description of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel, you see the two wills, mm-hmm. the spirit in it, they also have a bunch of eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says, when the spirit goes, the wills go.
The wheels go.
They don't turn. So mm-hmm. we know.
They just ate there and step with it.
Yeah, but he's a forward moving guy, too. Yeah. See, in Joshua, he says, I might have stressed because I'm paraphrasing. I might have stressed because you guys go backwards.
Right? Yeah.
I saw a lot. He goes, go forward. And then she turned into salt, right? So he's a forward moving guy. So no matter what direction you go, he goes, he moves like this. He's a forward moving God. No matter where he goes, he's a forward moving God.
Amen.
And he sees all things because the wills have eyes.
Yeah.
The wills are covered with eyes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I tried to bring up when you first mentioned it, is that wheel.
Yeah,
that wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it had all the eyes on it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Can you imagine seeing a wheel without much eyes?
They're all seeing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One is 15 minutes. Start getting your prayers in all right and stuff like that. And then my dad also commented, that's why the parable doesn't make sense unless you seek Christ. Hold on, where'd it go? It disappeared. Okay, we have to seek him for the deeper meanings.
Right, amen. We only find it through the scriptures, right?
Yeah.
His man will lead us astray.
Yeah,
like me, you know, I'll lead you guys astray, so don't listen to me. Go to the Word.
I was just saying, man, I'm chilling. Stop leading me astray.
I want to go back to what you were saying. I kind of like what you were saying about how, like, in the grand scheme,
we don't know, we just know that it is true, that they were there. They had to play a huge part.
Yeah, like right. All of us here today have like inherited something from what we live in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, in the grand scheme of it,
Ecclesiastes said there's nothing more under the sun.
Yep. Right. I agree with you 100%.
Just like with
it's south, like you said,
when I said bad chance thing, dude, it's like, hey, why do we know more about that? Think about now, right? We read the letter to the Galatians first. We're not the Galatians. Those guys are already dead, but we still get life from those letters.
Amen.
The Corinthians. All these are churches that were letters written to them, but we still read them and we still have the Spirit of God in them. They're going to be around forever.
Yeah.
You're gonna outlive us.
Well, that's what it says, right? We're like flowers in the grass, or
flowers in the sun,
right? But the word never fades away.
Never fades. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been true so far. Huh?
So mm-hmm. far. That's why, like, whatever the translation is, like, I mean, you read it, you get the spirit from it.
Yeah.
It is what it is, you know. Like, you got it, bro. It doesn't say something else.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure there's some crazy ones out there, but I haven't read all of them. I've only read like 5, maybe.
Yeah, man. Locked in. Scriptures be open, no?
My favorite one is Hawaiian Pigeon. His one and only boy.
Not again, brother.
Nick says.
Oh, you're not supposed to read that right now.
Oh,
you read it out.
Don't you pay attention right now? You already ignored the last one.
Hey, yeah, it's because I was called out on it, you know what I mean? I'll read it later. All right. Ezekiel 3, if anyone wants to.
Ezekiel 3?
Look into it later.
See? Don't trust men.
It says that in the scripture, too, they're hard headed.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's what, like, when you brought up you guys go backwards, that has to be so frustrating, you know what I mean? Like, come on, guys, you just gotta keep going forward, so I'll come backwards. That's what we do all day, you know?
The first five chapters of Hebrews led me to that.
Yeah.
Like, by the time I got to six, the way six starts with the the elementary teachings of Jesus Christ, I was like, oh, thanks.
Yeah, it reminds me of the...
This way, come back this way.
I think it's Corinthians. We have fish be meat now. Stop drinking
the
milk.
The way chapter five ends, and he's like, you guys all need milk and you shouldn't. And I'm like,
this is crazy. All right. Man, this is a good study today. All right. So, we'll start with the first verse. See what we can get. I'm sure we covered a lot of this, so.
Mm-hmm.
It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven gold lampstands, which I think somebody brought up, I think it was Nick maybe, where the description that John gave was for the reader who starts out, like the church, to recognize, like, oh, this is Jesus who's writing this to us. You know what I mean? So when that first, he says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars, it's to, like, you know, Jesus has got words to say for you now.
Yeah.
But, and this is the part where I really get, like, well, this is where the revelation's at, because when we get through all seven churches, when we take heed to what is being said, it's revealed, right? Like, oh man, like I need to step up my game, you know, I need to get back with God, you know, stuff like that. That's that revelation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's more that could be the revelation. But I see the true revelation is in these church letters.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Jesus telling us who we're in, because it's the now, right? Hasn't changed yet. We haven't got to the end. Unless you believe that the millennium kingdom is already reigning. You know what I mean? But, you know, that's enough about conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I believe we're in now in that third spot.
My dad texts.
Wait,
he holds the spirit. So my dad texted or commented, he holds the spirits and walks among the church, the bride.
Mm.
Yeah. And then verse 2, right? We get into the phrase, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. So they, you know, they got down and dirty with their word, right? It kind of reminds me of the Bereans, you know, in Acts.
I love this guy.
You know, where Paul would tell them something, instead of just taking it, they went back to the scripture, was like, oh wait, that is true, and then they start living. You know what I mean?
A lot of people just rejected his words and they're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They're like, all right, we're going to see if they're the same as truth. And that was good enough for them.
Right. And that's how I feel like some of these works are kind of like that. You know, like you have to really dig deep to figure out, like, you know, okay, I see your works, because, you know, now as you've dug deep, you're now living it, because, you know, it's hit you so much more, right? And then, at least that's what I get from it. What you get?
I think leading into context, like, just like you said, it's a phrase of, like, anybody who comes to Christ, like, that's all of those things right there, you know. It's when you catch on fire, it's like you put in your word, you go through your labor, your patience, you confess it a lot, and then you start to, in a sense, like, start to look at everybody like, why aren't you doing that? You know, like, you hate wickedness, you know, and evildoers and stuff like that.
See, like, I see that.
And then as you it's coming to your faith more, and you come to meet people with Christ, and you're like, wait a minute, you know, you say you follow Christ, but you're not really like what you're supposed to be doing and whatnot, you know?
You're walking differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
interpret the reveal.
Yeah, they have that. I see a discernment,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Like full
okay,
discernment
yeah,
there.
Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not like they're judging people. They
so,
just they have discernment. And they go, okay, I stay away from
yeah.
that because I can't stand that. You
but
know,
I think
like,
you need patience to get it because you have, it takes time to sit there and really
read somebody.
And not well, not just read it, but pray and pray. Like, come on, give me that clarification. I know you're speaking, but it's not hitting sometimes,
right,
you know.
Right.
So eventually, the more you ask for it, the more you continue to read it, even if it's the same passage over and over again, it becomes embedded in you to the point where yeah, you start seeing it everywhere, and you recognize who has it and who doesn't, and it's not like you're judging. It's just it's clear as day. Like, you know, it's more of a correct your brother or
hold them accountable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
versus
you're
yeah.
paying attention to what
yeah, exactly.
I also see
what he brought up earlier with like the bronze serpent when you're saying like you'll be healed? Or you'll be saved but not healed, right? Like so like that also brings in like the patience and like
healed,
all these other
healed,
things.
Not saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't say saved, they say you'll be healed.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Healed,
yeah.
Like you're saved.
And just like, you know, when you come to Christ, like it's exactly that. Like you're saved, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not gonna go through things, you're not gonna labor, you're not gonna have hardships, you're not gonna, you know.
Yeah, you're gonna still have that sinful body that like it talks about in Romans 6-8, right?
Mm-hmm. The song says we wage our own wars.
Right,
war
exactly.
Body and mind.
Yeah, we go back and forth.
We
cause our own turmoil. Mm-hmm. Right?
You fight against your spirit. The things I want, but I don't do the things I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's Orlando or Jackie, but was it each church is promised that everyone who conquers will be rewarded by Christ. The seven churches are the representation of it. Seven different periods in history of the Western Church from the time of Paul until the return of Christ.
Right, and that goes back to
that promise I was talking about.
That interpretation.
The eras, but there.
Yeah, the eras.
Yeah. The seven eras. So that's what I'll tell some what I read about that.
Yeah.
I remember it
comes from the names. You did the Greek name, you did the Church of Ephesus. It has a name and a meaning, right?
Right.
This is the Church of
whatever.
That's what it comes from.
All right, verse 3. We ready? All right, it says, you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. You know what that reminds me of? 2 Timothy.
Oh.
Yeah? Oh, exactly. 2 Timothy, right? Where he says, you got to fight the good fight of faith. Right? It's that long endurance race. Right? When he's talking about the racing, as you're running to win. Right?
And these guys had it bad. These guys had it bad.
Oh,
really
yeah,
bad.
They had it bad.
Because, like, if you could imagine, they are Jews. A lot of them were Jews. Pharisees also. I was reading Acts. They also became Christians. And they're being persecuted by their religion. You know? That is still
yeah,
their religion, but it's
with.
Not their religion, but it is.
Yeah.
That should be united, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Which they're being persecuted by their own. And not only, like, oh, we hate you. They're being locked up and killed.
Right. It reminds me of that letter to Diognetus, right?
Mm-hmm.
With that one of the... That persecution, with that being happened, the person who wrote that, which I don't know who it was, wrote that letter and said and used it as evidence that God's working because
mm-hmm.
they're getting persecuted yet they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
How is this not evidence that God
mm-hmm.
is God is doing something? You know what I mean?
That's in Acts 2. Remember the guy who's like, if this isn't from God, then it'll come to nothing. Because all these other guys have came and said there was somebody and they've come to nothing. And their followers have become nothing. So if this is from God, let it keep happening. They're also going to find yourself fighting against God.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus said. After the first century, it's still growing.
Yeah, it's still growing.
And now it's still growing.
Yeah. Trying to reach everywhere, right?
Persevere and have patience for some people that things start going wrong. And just go to the Bible beside it.
Yeah.
I have patience and, as you were saying, get into the word and persevere because it takes a lot to understand, you know what I mean? To get through it. And I believe God, the Lord don't show you right away because I believe He wants to see your diligence, right? He wants to see if you're going to keep asking, keep seeking. You know, He says, seek. mm-hmm. and you shall find. He didn't say if you look, you're gonna find it. Right? He said seek.
Right.
You know, you gotta get in it.
You gotta get deep.
You gotta get frustrated. Like, come on, Lord, I read this 13 times.
And then it changes.
And then it changes. Oh, like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly right. Oh, man. Then again, Lord.
You gotta do.
Amen. Right.
Hey, what you're saying is Hebrews, God is a rewarder of them who seek and diligent.
Right.
Continuously.
So just keep looking.
Like if it was like jewelry mm-hmm. buried in the ground somewhere, you know, some gold.
Oh, right. That's that parable, right?
Yeah. It's worth more than that.
Yeah.
It's worth more than all the rubies and more.
That parable of the guy who sells his land.
Or the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
The pearl
or something.
About the land.
Sells everything because it's nothing.
Right.
Pearl is everything.
Like, if you only knew, bro. Something like this world, bro.
What's your car? What's your house? What about it?
Yeah.
It's going to turn to dust.
Jeez. You don't want to keep going, bro.
Too bad. Get your prayers in.
All right, everyone, get your prayers in.
We're going to call Jordan, and he's going to pray us out.
Yeah, let's face
him. Yeah,
come on.
That's a hard job.
No, let us be one together.
Right, who's going to write it?
Huh?
Who's going to write
it? Can you give me a piece of paper? I'll write.
Right here.
All right, I got something to write with. Right here. There we go. So I'm purple. Hey, sticky notes.
Sticky notes. Bottom, he says.
Yeah, you want to do it? You want to do it?
Oh, no, I'm okay. I'm like 5 degrees.
That's called a good
person. Wait till you get a little further. I said the same thing, bro. I said the same thing.
Trust me. About two more chapters.
Yeah. Two more chapters would be there. You'd be like, all right, I guess we all have to pray.
Maybe they had to
keep
do
it
this.
Felicia
with you. All right, Felicia.
Is there an update for that? No.
You're with you right now.
Yeah.
I haven't reached out to her today, so.
You're with me, Jeff,
right? I know she's.
He's good. Yeah. I think he's already in vacation mode. He's already counting down the days. And then next year he starts homeschool, so he's already in forever home.
I'm counting down the days from my
It's like the same time, right? Same time frame, like 2 weeks?
About less than 2 weeks now because it's the 21st.
Oh, wow.
Counting down the days in 1 week.
All right, any other prayers?
My surgery coming up.
Surgery sure. coming up?
Keep Nick in prayer.
For who?
Who?
Nick.
Mm-hmm. Nick?
Work.
Work. He finds work. Better work.
Your surgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your surgery? Did you say your surgery? And then work for Nick. So the pen's not as fast as I am. Like, I write the word and nothing's coming out of it.
Jordan says prayer for my more friends as well.
Okay.
She said Memo had a surgery today.
Yeah, I heard everything went well, right?
Yes, he said.
Roger says pray for his finances.
Keep Tina in prayer for her surgery.
What was the
surgery?
I don't know.
One right day and twice.
It was a laser surgery for
what did you say?
Which one? Removal of stuff, right?
The latest one.
Roger's
finances, right? Yeah.
And then pray for Eric that she's not here.
Jordan
says.
Who this?
Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
What do you love about being alive on Facebook, right? Everyone can see exactly what you're doing.
How many people are online?
Four.
What'd you say, class? And then you said for Aaron?
And Jordan says, yes, memo surgery went very well.
Oh, Tina surgery.
Tina surgery.
Amen. It worked out.
Yeah, right.
It takes me something and reminded you of what you said.
Anyone else?
You pray for my cousin. He's gonna go on an adventure.
Ooh.
An adventure.
I love it.
Like Abraham.
Yeah.
He's been calling.
Calling. Calling. Anything else? We're good? I'm gonna pray for my work.
Boss is still gone.
Yeah, boss is still gone. And like, the whole company is in literal photos. Like, wow, this is what it takes to run a company. Good thing I'm not like the stressing type.
That's like
type.
The next step for you, no?
That would be the next step.
Dang.
Well. What's it called? But like, I get it why like no one can get a hold of him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like you said.
Phone does not stop ringing, bro. And you just don't start working. Good thing I'm not like the stressful type, you know? Because the person before me was stressed out too much, and he stepped down, he's like, I'm good, you know? And I kind of see it as a challenge. At first I was like overwhelmed, but now I just kind of get there and I go, wow, this is another characteristic of this job title.
It's good.
It's real fun. It's like a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
As long as your heart is healthy, you're like,
yeah.
Stress.
Nah, yeah.
I'm stroking out
at 40. I'm sure if, like a year ago when I first got the position, because the guy who stepped down, he was stepping down for a while, he came to me, he's like, well, if this doesn't work, I think I'm going to close up shop, because, like, this is too much, you know, what he was dealing with. And like, I've only had like a week and a half of it, you know, and I'm like, holy cow, this for years, 20 years, bro, like, it's crazy.
I closed up shop.
But it's something, it's one of those, what I've noticed is like when I first got in the position and I got overwhelmed or something like that, I'd freak out. And now I've gone through the steps so many times where I don't freak out anymore. I just like, all right, well, this is another thing I just gotta, you know, get over.
That experience.
Yeah, I love it though. He asked me, he's like, you need anything? And I was like, nah, dude, thank you for taking care of me. This is a lifetime opportunity. I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much work. Make sure everything's going good. Alright, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Coming to Unity. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Bible study, Lord. It has been awesome. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord. It's awesome to see you work in others as you work in me, Lord. And I can't praise you enough for it. I first want to start off this prayer and take heed to this first letter that we read, Lord, and help us repent and come back to our first love. And Lord, in doing that, Lord, I want to pray for Felicia's family, Lord. Help remind her family that you're with them at all times. That you show yourself to them. I know some people are more realistic than others, and Lord, if you have to do something really realistic and physical, do so, Lord, so that they can see that you're working in their family as you work in every family, Lord. Help Felicia be the beacon of light that she's called to be.
for her family so that they too can and enjoy the company of God. Lord, I want to pray for Jacob's surgery. Help ease his mind. Help him to, when he does think about it, Lord, help him to understand that this must be, and set ease and peace in his mind so that when he comes out of the surgery, his hip's fine and he can walk and run around. Lord, help the surgeon's hands. And it not just be a paycheck to him, but something that he loves, that it's in his heart, that he wants to help people in this way. Lord, I also want to pray for Nick. And Lord, I see you working all in his life all the time. It's awesome. And Lord, help Nick see where he's supposed to go with work. Bless him with a job where he can shine his light, Lord. Not only for just for his comfort, Lord, but for others to see you work through him. And Lord, I'll pray for Memo and Francis. We thank you for the praise that you've done, Lord. I've followed along in my prayers, and this is probably one of the coolest works that I've seen you do in my life, Lord. Taking a man who's very sick and healing him, Lord. I thank you for that. And I thank you for Memo and Francis, and bless them, Lord, through this time. Help them see what you're doing in their life and learn from it. Because we don't just go through these things for nothing, Lord. I also want to pray for Roger and his finances, Lord. Help him get what he needs. I know he struggles, Lord, and help him rely on you and not worry about these things, because we know that Roger is more than just birds, Lord. He's a son of God, a child of God. And Lord, I want to pray for Eric. I want to pray that you keep him on the path, Lord. I know he's not walking super straight, but he's walking near it, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for where you brought him. We thank you that you brought him to us, Lord, because we love him like a brother. And remind him through that walk that you're with him, you know. And help him rely on you in this walk. Lord, I want to pray for Tina's surgery coming up. I'm glad that she got a second opinion and she found a doctor, Lord, that is willing to do the work that it takes to remove what she has going on inside her, Lord. We thank you for that enthusiasm. And Lord, let this not just be a form of pride in that surgeon, Lord, but let this be the work of you, Lord, in his hands and in the way he carries himself, Lord. Let this be carried out in a way that follows your will, Lord. But I want to pray for Mike's cousin going on an adventure, Lord. I pray that you be with him in that, and that he sees that throughout the entire adventure, Lord. Also, Lord, I'll pray for work personally. Sometimes it gets a little overwhelming, but you know I love it, Lord. And I can see that while the owner's gone, Lord, that it's not just falling on my shoulders, but it's running in such a way that it feels like you're running it, Lord. And I thank you for that. Bless the workers, bless Travis, bless Colby, bless Joel, bless Ricardo, bless Eli, Lord, and all the people that just came on board, Lord. I want to pray that the owners of the company, they enjoy their vacation, because I know they need it, especially after what what they've handed off to me for now, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the blessing of that family that's blessed my family, Lord. So have them enjoy their vacation. And all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Did you, Roger?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.